Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 565. Science Faction, we found the aliens.
I've been watching a lot of sci-fi, and this is never good. It's best case scenario, we get an ET, in which case we almost murder the only friendly alien in the fucking universe.
Yeah, you know what's funny is in the movie ET, everybody was so quick to like want to go kill ET or dissect ET or whatever.
Nobody wanted to fuck ET.
Yeah, so few people were laying out the poon for E.T., which I don't buy for shit, because you could say, hey, look, he looked like a freakish alien. Fine. There are women who throw themselves at, like, Charles Manson when he goes to prison. Are you telling me there is not one barfly that wants to take the first extraterrestrial facial ever? Like, that's bullshit.
Yeah, there are people who live by the creed, I am pansexual. I'm fucking anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or there are people who just would, like, I'd fuck a horse.
What a chance to prove
it. On the other end of the spectrum, but, like, I'm like, I look at any sentient being as a sexual being. I look at anything as something I'd fuck.
Yes.
E.T. is something you could fuck.
Which some would argue is a more evolved attitude. And speaking of a more evolved attitude, I, of course, am your host, comedian archaeologist Robert Timothy. With me, as always, is my comedian, Mr. Damien Mercado. Damien, how are you doing this afternoon?
Bobby, which side of the spectrum do you think I fall on? The egalitarian, I see any living conscious being as something worthy of love, even physical love, and so I must force myself upon it, versus the I see an object, animate or not, I must fuck it.
I mean, in a way, those are the same opinion, just expressed in different ways. There is no discernment there. You're saying everything gets fucked either way, right?
Well, no. The other one looks at living conscious beings as things that need love and something forced upon them. So it's really at the end that the first one becomes a monster.
Yeah, and it depends how you define love, I guess, as to whether or not those are basically the same thing you are using back and forth. But either case,
I thought we were just going to watch The Notebook. Why does it have to be sexual?
We got a lot of interesting UFO news to get to, so let's move right on to science articles.
From molecules to particles, this is Science Articles.
I cannot stress this enough. Do not try to seduce a James Cameron alien in the wild if you encounter it, or predator, a Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny Glover-esque predator in the wild.
Yeah, you want to go for that Natasha Henstridge species alien, which will still kill you, but you're going to have a good time.
No, that's the thing. It wants you to have... You're going to have a good time, but you know what happens? She uses your offspring. She uses your genetic seed to then sow the destruction of mankind.
But if you're lucky, you can get banger like twice in between when that starts and when
that ends. Okay, but let me show you pictures of this alien's ass before you judge me. Let me just... Hold on, bring up my phone. There's a lot of blood on it because she murdered me pretty quick. But
it was the mid-90s and we didn't have the internet yet. This was the closest teenage boys had to porn.
Pornography to teenagers, widely available, may save the human race. When like there's a millennial who's just like, nah, I'd rather play Xbox. Yeah. I really don't want to be. Sorry, Miss Super Hot Alien Lady. I got Xbox.
Yeah, I've told this story a bunch. Like, I literally almost blew up my garage on multiple occasions. I set off explosives within my garage. Yeah, no, but like... You know why? Because there wasn't porn. I would have been inside. Like, there's no way I'm fucking around with, like, half sticks of dynamite and remote detonators if there's porn available to me. That was just the angst of not having porn.
So, Bobby, literally you're saying in a world where you grew up with Pornhub and you have the same latchkey parents.
Yeah.
You're saying your engineering skill would not be what it is today.
Okay, fair enough. But my cleaning towels game would be on point, if you know what I mean?
But my scrubbing semen from the bottom of my desk game...
I'm just saying a lot, there would be so much less damage to like property and other things had we just given young men access, unlimited access to porn. Anyway, long story short, enough of my give everybody porn soapbox.
How does every UFO conversation end with you telling everybody they need pornography?
It's one of those Freudian things, like how all clouds look like dicks. I love the saucer shape.
Freud did say that all the time. Every single cloud, cumulus, nimbus, I don't give a fuck, looks like a dick.
All right, so let's get onto this UFO story. So there's been a lot of UFO talk in the past few weeks. Let's review why. A big report is going to be presented to Congress from heads of military and civilian intelligence on June 25th, which is going to kind of talk about UFOs, unidentified flying objects, their likely origins and analysis of the videos. A lot of these have been like recorded on naval fighter video cameras and stuff. So like we have some evidence of what we're talking about. They want to look at it. Now, again, we're saying UFO, unidentified flying object. That does not mean it's an alien spacecraft. All that means is there's something flying and we don't know what it is. Like, technically, a well-thrown football, if not properly identified quick enough, is a UFO for some period of time. Like, so
where was John Elway and how many Vortex footballs did he have in his possession before we can say whether this was a UFO?
So when we say UFO, we don't mean necessarily something from an alien civilization or something. All we mean is something that is flying through the air that has not yet been identified. And by the way, we have a long history of having these UFOs, many of which get recorded, many of which by people like experienced naval fighter pilots who record these things and go, oh my God, what is it? And we later find an explanation. So the fact that it is classified as a UFO now does not mean it will always be a UFO. We may very well figure out what it is. And in all the explanations we found so far, they've all been mundane. And you might think like, well, how? I've seen some videos online. I've seen videos of these things that look like a Tic Tac and it jets around at crazy speeds and gains altitude and loses altitude. Well, at least one of those videos that we've seen before that looks like a crazy spacecraft zipping around, we've actually found is a balloon, a Mylar balloon in the shape of the number one, like you'd get at a birthday party for a 10-year-old's birthday party. And it flies around in weird ways because it gets trapped in air currents. And think of like the air currents around a plane. That thing then moves in seemingly unimaginable ways because you're imagining it's this big, heavy craft and the inertia involved in that. But if you're talking about a Mylar balloon, it whips around in crazy speeds based on the air movement around it. And so times that we have seen these things before and have found explanations, they've all been mundane.
Hey, what's up, motherfuckers? It's Tom DeLong, alien expert.
Well, hi, Tom DeLong. One of the only people Joe Rogan had on his show, and while having him on his show, basically said, this guy's crazy as fuck.
Okay, first off, I've been way ahead of the alien curve for a long time. Also, the fucking your mother thing, am I right? Our songs are fun.
You gotta love it. Joe Rogan, who had Kanye West on, and as Kanye West was literally just spouting insane things, like just saying, like, I'm the king of the universe, I made domes for people, like just crazy shit. In the middle of it, Joe Rogan earnestly said, I don't understand why everybody calls you crazy, which I think should be like a quote of the decade or something because it's recorded. They should just juxtapose it to things Kanye is doing and be like, I don't understand why people call you crazy. And it's just Kanye like covering himself in honey and jumping into a bear cage. And he's like, oh, I don't get it. Why do they want to medicate you? That guy called Tom DeLong crazy.
Yeah, which is crazy because he has Alex Jones on his show fucking regularly.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. They're good friends.
But I, by the way, fun little side note. You know how like everybody in your life, you meet people who are like mentor figures in your life? You know, it would sure. be it a teacher or whatever. Well, I have somebody from my days in the military who was a very respected figure. I caught up with him recently. And through Facebook, he's been somebody who's been very anti-vaccination since the start of the pandemic. He is not quite Alex Jones. He's somebody who likes to think he's a Joe Rogan listener. He likes to think he's a somebody in the middle, but like really he's pretty far right on everything.
Right.
We met up over the pandemic, you know, just good catch-up time for an anti-vaxxer. But he was through town and we found a safe place to meet up. And he was like trying to like lend credibility. He was like, listen, I know you think I believe some crazy shit. All right. But he's like, my wife, my brother-in-law, and he looks over both shoulders, is Tom DeLong. So I know some stuff. In my head, I'm like, no. It's like finding out like your grandfather's senile or something. No, grandpa, no.
Well, my brother-in-law is Travis Barker, and he says that dude's full of shit.
My brother-in-law is the drummer that Travis Barker replaced. It's really not notable. Scott Rayner is his name.
So you're going to be seeing like a bunch of, actually, I've already seen them, a bunch of articles come out. The government admitted they know about UFOs. And it's like, yeah, you're technically correct. They said, here's a bunch of unidentified flying objects. The actual report specifically says none of this stuff appears to be, an extraterrestrial craft. It's not what we'd expect from an extraterrestrial craft. It's most likely just a regular craft that we have here. It's just not one that the U.S. military knows about. So that could be a foreign military. It could be a private one. And before you think, scoff at the idea of a private one, remember, there is now a private agency that is essentially handling NASA's work for them. So like that is possible.
If Amazon wanted to have a military wing and make it secret in an Antarctic base.
Well, not just that, but here's the deal. So, like, when you look at brushless DC motors and what we can do with them now, people started, obviously, about 10 years ago making what we call drones or UAVs, but those little flying helicopters with them, right? And that only became possible because of an advance in technology of brushless DC motors. And I was around before that happened and then around when it happened. And in that transition, I was heavily...
What does Daniel Cormier have to do with fucking motors?
He's the heavyweight and light heavyweight champ.
Well, that fucking motor could wrestle.
And so, like, I was around during that transition. I was actually around when they very first debuted those multi-rotor copters that we call drones. And they were very important to me because I was doing aerial archaeology at the time with kites and fucking weather balloons. So I was a very early adopter of them where you had to have a guy come out and fly it for you because you had to have, like, a helicopter license to do it. And you had to build your own. There was no such thing as commercial available ones. And I've watched it advance. Now you can go to Costco and pick one up. Well, guess what? In the same sense that you used to have to build your own in 2010 when I first started doing it, nowadays, those guys that can build their own, they could build shit that can do stuff that would blow your fucking mind.
What about other things? Like if I like needed a sex robot, and like, is this somebody I could talk to?
I was going with flying drone type UAVs,
I wouldn't want a rotor involved. Yeah, absolutely. My sex bot robot's very few rotors.
Okay, prude. Didn't realize I was talking to Victorian, Damien.
How much does it take to get the vaginal rotor out?
Fucking Luddite. But those guys can build some shit that can do some stuff that you wouldn't imagine. And you put a couple of those guys together with a couple, you know, with a couple $1,000, and they can build little craft that can do really amazing things. You can actually see some of these homemade craft that are able to carry a human being, a person. It almost works like a multi-rotor skateboard. It's like a version of what Willem Dafoe was flying around in those Spider-Man movies. They literally have those, and they're homemade. They're not produced by some massive corporation. They're done by a bunch of dudes in a garage. And so sometimes when we look at this stuff, we can say, hey, maybe it's a balloon, Mylar balloon flying in the wind. But sometimes it could be an advanced technology that isn't necessarily China sneaking up on us, though that's an option too, China and Russia using supersonic aircraft. It could literally be a smart-ass dude with a couple of G's building something in his backyard at this point.
Maybe we're also like the beginner's level, like the first level in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out for an alien aviation course. Like, hey, when you're trying to outfly primitive civilizations that don't have zero-G gravity-defying technology, you got to bounce around like that. And so, like, they said, like, you know, they send their elementary school students to learn to evade human pilots.
Yeah, they start off with that, like, Atari, like, space game where you're a spaceship and shooting. That's their
space
simulator.
Invaders. You're talking about Space Invaders.
They're the opposite side of Space Invaders, and they're like, this is their top ranked people. And little did we know, there's no AI in that game at all. It's just aliens from another planet porting it.
By the way, humans, we have something called SEER school, which is after your plane goes down, it's like survival, evade, and search and rescue, something like that. I used to know the acronym. Point is, aliens don't have that, which is why each of them, if they crash land, is susceptible to a Will Smith-esque punch to the face. They don't know what to do when they land on primitive Earth.
Little known fact, Damien, the commander of one of the U.S.'s two SEER schools, is an avid fan and listener. So there you go.
Yeah, I expect him to be indoctrinating our students as he's stabbing them with bamboo canes.
With bad Russian accents that he learned from you.
Tell us the secret of the EM drive. Tell us. What's an EM drive, bro? Listen to Rogan.
So you will hear, as I have heard, plenty of stuff about the government admitting its knowledge of UFOs and stuff. This is all it means. It means that there's a bunch of videos of stuff that we don't necessarily have categorized. We don't know what it is. Also, just keep in mind, like I mentioned before with the balloon, the thing about 3D space, when you're talking about what aerial vehicles travel through, is that without a reference point, you can't always tell what distances are being traveled. Meaning that if something is flying at an angle that you're assuming is perpendicular to you, but it is not, or perpendicular to the angle that you're traveling, it's going to seem to do fantastic things. If you think something is right in front of you, but it's actually really far away, it's going to seem to do fantastic things. Same thing with something that's close that you think is far away. And so a lot of this stuff comes down to the point that you don't know the geometry involved in what's going on. You don't know the location of yourself versus the other thing versus the relative motion versus the aerial conditions. And all that stuff can make seemingly miraculous appearing things happen. Even, by the way, to people like Navy pilots. People always use this as a weird argument from authority. Like, hey, look, these Navy pilots didn't know what it was. Yeah, guess what? They're not experts in all the shit that could be flying around them. Their entire lives, if they are the most experienced Navy pilot on Earth, they might have spent, you know, a few hours a day flying over a certain number of years for their entire life. That is still not enough to see the multitude of things in different scenarios with different lighting and different atmospheric effects that can happen. And therefore, this idea that because a Navy pilot is confused, it somehow gives it authority, it really does not. All you're saying is, I've ruled out the easy things that they would normally and often see. Well, that's fine.
The only argument I could see for that is that the Navy pilot is usually more, like, for example, like, I don't know, Vietnam-era sergeant saw Loch Ness Monster, so it has to be true.
Sure.
But, like, okay. But the Navy pilot's usually a learned man. He's somebody who's...
Totally. And I'm not saying that they're making it up or lying or idiots. What I'm saying is they, just because you're an experienced pilot, it gives you in no way, shape, or form the ability to tell reference points for aerial things if you don't know what they are. So if you don't know how far away something is, your opinion of how it should act will be way off, maybe even more off than your average person's, because you know what to expect from a craft you think is that far away.
Well, from a Navy pilot, I actually expect him to pull up inverted on top of the alien craft, give it the finger,
yes,
and then join Scientology.
Yeah, the problem is if he has a mustache, he's dying in the first half.
Damn it. He was the most likable one of the two.
So again, some of these might be, you know, UAVs, the things we call drones. Some of these might be advanced supersonic aerial crafts from other nations like China or Russia. Some might be things like Mylar balloons caught up in weird wind currents. They all could be these different things. But this big report that's being reported to Congress on the 25th, as of right now, what that report states is, here are these things. We don't think they are extraterrestrial in origin. We cannot explain all of them or what they are. Here you go. Here's the video. And that's all it says. So every time you see on social media or on the news or something, the government is admitting to UFOs. One of those, yeah, technically correct, but not at all what you think it is.
Until they release a slutty looking ET that they've been abusing in a basement in Area 51. He lives a comfortable life.
I know. I think they did that. That was the Jersey Snore. It was called Snooki. And she was...
Okay, fine. But here's your new alias, Men in Black style. You on a show? Remember, Jim Tan Laundry. Jim Tan Laundry.
I mean, if you think about it, if you were in like a spacecraft for thousands of years trying to get from your planet to Earth, those would be three pretty important things.
Gotta stay fit in space.
Yeah. And tan, bro.
Because you're a Superman-esque species that gains strength from Earth's yellow rays?
No. But like, I mean, you're stuck in a spaceship for your entire lifetime if it's over thousands of years, right? So like, you're going to do a lot of fucking. Like, there's not a lot to do if you're the in-between generations.
Everybody else is in cryosleep. They don't care how I look.
You want to get that nice V going down by the pelvis, you know? Like, yeah, you got those aliens know what's up. You've seen Snooki.
I got nothing but time. Let's get shredded.
All right, article number two, fast radio bursts, more than we thought.
Like, you were expecting a fast radio burst at the end of a long night of astrophysicsing, but turns out you get a fast radio burst at the start, and then the space is like, this never happens. And then it just keeps happening over and over again throughout the night, and you never get that long, satisfying observational period that you want.
First of all, that was the first time it happened, and you said you wouldn't bring it up.
Oh, Bobby, my lower back.
So, Damien, do you remember fast radio bursts? Do you remember talking about these?
They were they came from a portion of deep space. They seemed to have a pattern, which indicated an intelligence. They happen more frequently than we think they do. I don't know, we've talked about them a lot. Alex Jones is involved.
They were only discovered in 2007. Really, really interesting. Well, to be fair, the observation was made in 2007, and it wasn't discovered until many years later, like looking back at the data. But basically, these are bursts, and as you pointed out, they were, in general, from outside of our galaxy, though as we reported, I think just a little bit in the end of 2020, we recorded the first fast radio bursts that were actually inside our own galaxy. And so they do happen, you know, closer to home. And we have talked about them before. They're very, very interesting. It's a tremendous amount of energy that comes from space in what is very literally a quick, fast radio burst. These bursts are so powerful, they're 500 million times as powerful as the sun in terms of energy given off during that time frame. And so we thought they might be evidence of, who knows, maybe black holes colliding together, maybe a pulsar, back when we thought they were really, really far away. And some of the leading theories now are magnetized neutron stars or magnetars that might be giving these off in certain kind of frequencies. Well, what a new report says is what we've been calling fast radio bursts, or we've talked about them as fast radio bursts and repeating fast radio bursts, are actually two distinct things. One is the most common, which is just the fast radio burst. And the second is the repeating fast radio burst. And we now think that that is a completely separate thing. So it makes up a much smaller percentage overall. About 61 of the 535 so far detected, fast radio bursts so far detected, have been the repeating ones. They differ from the regular fast radio bursts in terms of their duration, whether or not it just happens as a one-off from one specific spot, and they emit on a much narrower band of radio frequencies than the one-off burst. Now, while we reported them initially and we're like, holy shit, does this mean aliens and stuff? Since then, it has been pretty conclusively thought of by astronomers in general that these are not the result of any kind of intelligent activity, but of a natural thing, like I said, like a magnetar or a neutron star or something like that.
Yeah, with the radio thing, when you picture, like, say, the ones that are repeated often, I picture, like, those are the ones mm-hmm. That the other planets keep requesting. They're the ones that mm-hmm. are going to get played out. They're the who let the dogs out. But, you know, then there are...
By that, do you mean instant classics of fast radio bursts?
Okay, Bobby, agree to disagree about the legacy of the Baja Men.
I mean, for you're not just insulting them, you're insulting Cuba Gooding Jr. You're insulting a lot of...
don't equate snow dogs...
And oh, don't you dare take away Snow Dogs from Who Let the Dogs In. How are you going to pretend like those? First of all, the main song in the trailer for Snow Dogs was Who Let the Dogs Out. And it was like 50% of the movie was just the idea that that song had come out recently and got people excited about the idea of dogs.
You didn't have a childhood. I know you've seen like three movies and I'd be shocked, literally shocked, if Snow Dogs is one of the three movies you had seen in your childhood.
Wasn't in our childhood. I feel like that was much later on.
You saw that last night and it blew you away. Completely different.
Sounds like you figured out who let the dogs out.
the Baja Men. You were hanging out with the Baja Men last night, who, by the way, are Bahamanian, so they would talk with a Caribbean accent, like, hello, Bobby, let us show you, with our fine Caribbean accent, let us show you our... We used to be musicians in the early 2000s. You heard of K9 and Who Let Them Out?
I love the fast radio burst. One, because it kind of came into being during the... taping of the show. Again, the original detection was beforehand. It was in 2007, but they didn't figure it out by looking at the data until much later. And so we reported on some of the early fast radio burst stories, certainly the earliest repeating fast radio burst stories, the earliest stories of fast radio bursts in this galaxy. And it'll be one of those things that our kids will know a lot more about. In fact, it might tell us a lot about the universe around us because we are getting a signal from somewhere else. So maybe we will be measuring certain things, the warps of space and whatnot, based on how that signal that comes through the space in between us and those fast radio bursts moves. Like, they might be a major source of information about the universe and galaxies around us for our future generations. And in that case, similar to things like LIGO and gravity wave detection, they may be the next kind of astronomy that fills the textbooks of our children and tells us things about the galaxy that we never knew in our own time.
Cut to a futuristic classroom sometime in the future. It's being taught by an alien hologram talking to a mixed body of students, many of whom are humans. Damien Jr. Pay attention. Put down that futuristic pornography and pay attention to the class. Now, please enlighten everybody as to how LIGO and the Baja Men have revolutionized space travel.
You get kicked out of class so fast. True story, by the way. This is a blast from the past. Damien, I don't know if you remember this. I'm sure you probably do. This is a true story, and it proves that sometimes being like the squeaky wheel gets the grease, only in terms of getting the grease, it's just like gets you off the hook. At one point in high school, Damien and I, we didn't do anything, but we had witnessed something that somebody was like in trouble for or something. So they called us into the office and they had us sitting in the office together. That's mistake number one. Number two, they made us wait an extended period of time. Now, Damien, he doesn't care what's going on in school, but he is just annoyed to be there. I very much am like, I am very into my studious nature, and therefore I feel I am missing class. Like, this is somebody who never skipped a class in their life, who hadn't been absent since the seventh grade for a single day. Like, I am missing class, and that to me is a problem. And so Damien and I became so obnoxious in the waiting room of this high school office that eventually, even though we were wanted by the vice principal to talk about some assault that we had seen, even though we were wanted for something important, the secretary, who holds no weight in this, she is not a head administrator, she is not a vice principal, this is a fairly large, this is a school of 3,000 students, so like it's fairly large with a big administration and stuff, and this is just the regular secretary. Eventually, our bullshitting in the office of the high school got so intense that she could no longer take it and took it upon herself to pull an executive action and kick us back to our classrooms. We never even saw that vice principal's office because we were so annoying to the office staff that we were a problem that could not be solved. And since we were not in trouble, it's not like they could be like, hey, you better watch out. You might be being expelled. It's like, no, you're just wasting our time. It was really a no-win situation for the secretary who just pulled rank and said, get the fuck out of this office.
And because that secretary sent me back to class, other students didn't learn. Also,
it's true. It's true.
Also, because you and I didn't testify, charges weren't pressed against that kid, and he killed 7 more.
Went to a little high school called Columbine. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is who let the dogs out.
You're going to say it like an NPR voice, like it's the end of a documentary. And that's who let the dogs out. You've been a Prairie Home Companion.
All right. Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 565, where you learned all about the government's information on UFOs, how fast radio bursts were more than we thought, and why even an administrative high school office can't contain our humor. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 566.
Listen, Tom DeLong, I can't talk to you anymore. Like, you're too crazy for me, brother. I literally think everybody at Sandy Hook was a lizard alien. On both sides. Both sides. Killer and killed. And you're too much for me, Tom DeLong.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.